welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Chuck Colazzi. Today is Friday, April the 26th, 2024. It is the Friday of the fourth week of Easter, and our reading today is from the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So this is a very powerful reading, and it is a very popular reading from John chapter 14. And it's a reading often used at funerals. "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." There have been times that I was working with families who had just lost a loved one, and we read this reading, and I like to help them to think, well, within reason, not certainly we're not picking anything sinful here, what do you think the dwelling place looks like in heaven for your loved one that has died? In fact, what will your dwelling place look like in heaven? Now, when our Lord says that, he doesn't necessarily mean everybody gets their own bedroom and they get to decorate it the way they want. Who knows? Maybe it does mean that. When I think of heaven, I think of more, well, it's about relationships. It's about joy. It's about being in the presence of the Lord and seeing God face to face. But I think there's a lot of ways we can interpret that part of the reading. Many dwelling places. In other words, we all have our gifts. We are all different from one another. We have our talents. We have our likes and our dislikes. We also have our needs. Everybody needs different things. Some of that is based on the events of life and maybe trauma and maybe just our own weaknesses and sins. But some of it is based on, well, it's the way God made us. God made different people in different ways. Some people just have needs for different things based on the way that they're made by Almighty God. So Jesus has, and he's pointing us to heaven here, and he's pointing us to the Father's house. And the Father's house isn't simply like this place where we go when we die. But once again, it's a state of being, and it's a state of being united with the Father. And we can begin to live the life of heaven while we're here on earth. So each of us is unique. I don't know, I just remember sometimes talking with families and saying, I wonder if he's, you know, the guy who used to love to ride motorcycles, does he have his own Harley in heaven? Things like that. You know, somebody, I know they want to overdo the whole football thing. And you know, sometimes I've been to viewings where there was like an Eagles theme going on. And it's, I feel like sometimes that's just way too over the top. If I'm in purgatory, I don't need you guys singing the Eagles fight song. I need you guys praying for me. So, but still, it's something when we're trying to console people to think, well, the Lord accepts this person for who he or she is. Hopefully they made their peace with the Lord. But yes, what's their dwelling place going to be like in heaven? How are their gifts going to be better and more fully realized in heaven? How is this person going to be rewarded in heaven? Hopefully, primarily, we're thinking about relationships. So it is a consoling thought to think, well, grandpa, grandma, uncle so-and-so, and aunt so-and-so are all together now. And then we go so far as to say, oh, they're up there playing cards in heaven. Or, well, I don't know about the cards. And maybe they are. We don't know. But let's go to this other line where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I forget, but that actually means something. And I should have done my research before even bringing it up in a sermon here. But I think it has something to do with the temple, something that Jews, it's an image that Jews would have been familiar with. And it has to do with their salvation, and it has to do with the Messiah. So Jesus is saying things that they're already familiar with, and he's saying, I am the fulfillment of these things. What does this mean on the surface level if we're just talking about, okay, what is Jesus telling us? He is the way. He's the only way to heaven. There might be other people that believe other things, and God bless them. We wish them well. We hope everybody is pursuing truth. I believe that truth is going to lead you to Jesus and to the Catholic Church, but everybody, you know, people are living their own truth in their own different ways based on what they've been taught. But still, in the end, it's only Jesus that's going to save us. He's the only one that's risen from the dead. It's only his baptism. It's only his body and blood that have been shed for us and offered for us. It's only his resurrected body that is now in heaven. He is the only way. He is the truth. He says in another place, the truth will set you free. Well, yes, Jesus has set us free through his cross and resurrection. And he is the truth. He's the word of God that John speaks of. He is the wisdom of God that the whole Bible speaks of. Jesus is the truth. His very existence has been spoken by the Father, and there is nothing more true. If we wish to experience the fullness of life, it's in union with Jesus. And then he is the life. Once again, these things are similar concepts, yet somewhat different. He is the source of life. He is the origin of life. He is the one through whom we are made. He is the one through whom the whole world has been made. And if we go to him, we will have life. Life in this life to the full, but also eternal salvation. I think sometimes when I hear this, I think of, I know like Hans-Urs von Balthasar has written the Theodrama, and he talks about God's attributes. And I know these were talked about long before the 20th century with von Balthasar, but we say God is good, he's true, and he's beautiful. So the way the truth and the life have to, they correspond to God's three attributes, goodness, truth, and beauty. God is the ultimate goodness. We are drawn to goodness, whether we like it or not. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says the law of God is already written in our hearts, even if we've never heard of Jesus. Goodness is a proper ordering of things. Goodness we can learn from natural law. That, I mean, for example, thou shalt not kill. Okay, we can figure that out without divine revelation because we ourselves don't want to be killed. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Well, we don't want to be the victims of these things. Therefore, we can figure out, you know, it's great that God revealed this through divine revelation, but it's also the natural law. We can figure these things out on our own. What is good and what is not good? Once again, God is true. He is the ultimate truth. There is no deception in God. God is he who is. He is the great I am. And in God, there is beauty. Also in beauty, there is a proper ordering of things. There's an order to creation. Our minds know how to recognize that order. And therefore, when we see things created by God for God's purposes, we often say, wow, that is beautiful. When we see the way the world functions, a sunrise, a sunset, the moon coming out at night, when we see an ocean, a mountain, a valley, we say that is beautiful. We see a beautiful person. We say that is beautiful. We see a baby after it's born. That is beautiful. One of the most beautiful things in existence. So God is these things, and Jesus is the fulfillment of these things who has come to live among us. As we are pursuing in our lives goodness, truth, and beauty, it's so important to know these things. We might think, oh, he's just talking academics here. It's just an intellectual thing, but it's not. I need to pursue with my whole life what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. We need to make ourselves more beautiful. In heaven, there is no absence of beauty. Everything and everyone is in the fullness of goodness, truth, and beauty. So we have to prepare for that. We have to get ready for that. We have to practice for it. And how do we do that? Well, it gets back to that. What Jesus says, I want to say idea, but it's not idea. The truth that Jesus says, there are many dwelling places. There are many ways to live this. there are many ways to live our lives, and we have to discern what is my truth. We are discerning what is God's truth. See, some people like to say there's only God's truth. You have no truth. And then you have other people at the opposite extreme that want everything to be relative except their own truth. But in reality, there's both. There is the objective truth of God and his creation and his church. There is objective truth that comes from Almighty God according to what he's done and what he plans to do. But then there's also the truth of you, your own truth. You're allowed to have your own truth, the truth that comes from God, the way God made you. Each has his or her own particular truth. I'm not saying you get to choose objective truths that you don't believe and they become true. No, that's relativism. I'm against that. But I am for you having your own truth, the truth of who you are, the truth of your life and your experience. We each have our own truth, and it involves the good, the bad, and the ugly. But hopefully we're moving more and more towards the good. But yes, we have our own ultimate goodness. We have our own ultimate beauty. My beauty is not the same as your beauty. We know that that one's a little bit more obvious. We say different people have different types of beauty for different reasons. With some, it's more external. With some, it's more internal. And yet we can say, you know, why is it we can say, oh, she's a blonde, she's beautiful, but then, oh, wait a minute, she's a redhead, she's beautiful. Wait a minute, there's a brunette, she's beautiful, right? Because they're different, and that's God made us. We can say someone with lighter skin, darker skin, someone taller, someone shorter, whatever. You know, God made beauty, and he especially made beauty in the human person. So we have our own particular ways, truths, and lives, but they're all, I know that sounds so heretical. Of course, there's the ultimate objective way, truth, and the life that is Jesus and his teachings and the teachings of his church. And these are objective things, but we have particular ways of relating to Jesus. When we read the Gospels, and it's another reason I love the show, The Chosen, and when you read the writings of Pope John Paul, Theology of the Body, it's so respectful. Jesus is so respectful of the uniqueness of every person, the differences in every person, and how then they are called to live their faith. Each one of us, everyone listening to this, we each have to figure out, in what way do I best serve the Lord? That's what I mean when I say each has his own way. Each has his own life. Each has his own goodness. Each has his own beauty, or her, of course. So are you going to serve the Lord as a parent, or as a teacher, or as a religious, or as an artist, as a man or woman of prayer? Hopefully we're all doing that. When I teach the kids, you know, and it can be a challenge. They each need attention, and they each need affirmation. And this one can serve the Lord through music. And this one can serve the Lord through writing. And this one can serve the Lord through their relationships. This one serves the Lord through dancing. Sometimes they want to sing and dance and play informally, but they don't want to do anything formal, like actually join the play or join a sports team or whatever. Even in sports, how can we glorify God in our athletics? Well, perhaps the way we play the game and the way we interact with each other in kindness and charity, hopefully. But even just using the gifts God gave us, not in a manner that's prideful and showing off, but in a manner that says, hey, you know, God gave me this body. I'm going to use it. I'm going to show it off a little bit as a gift of God and give God all the glory. There are so many ways that we each live what Jesus is calling us to live. It's called a vocation. And each day we have our particular vocation. And then we have all the saints. And the saints show us so many different ways to live the life that God has set out for us. And to follow the way, the truth, and the life. We have saints that are married. We have saints that are religious. We have saints that are bishops. We have saints that were martyrs. We have saints, I mean, and all the different things that saints are patrons of are for a reason. We have Blessed Carlo Acutis, who is patron saint of the internet. he's going to become a saint. And yet the internet, when he was alive, he was a young man. The internet was already around and he was using the internet to glorify God. Thank God we have a saint for the internet because we need him now. We need God through the intercession of that saint now more than ever. And of course, there's so many things that Our Lady and Saint Joseph are patrons of. So all the things that pertain to family and the home and relationships, femininity, masculinity, all these things we can turn to Mary and Joseph for. As we're struggling just to grow in our own sense of ourself, our own sense of what does it mean to be a woman, to be a man, we turn to Our Lady, we turn to Saint Joseph. In God's house, there are many dwelling places, and your place and my place are utterly unique, and that's a beautiful thing. We don't say it to be isolated from one another. We say it because each of us shines in our own way, and each of us is called, as St. Paul says, to be members of the body. We are each called in different ways to do different things, and each of us are meant to shine. So it's good for us just to always be praying, Lord, what is your will for me? Lord, what are my gifts? Lord, what are my needs, and how can I serve you even in those ways? St. Paul says it's when we are weak that we are strong. Dear Lord, please show us more and more of the truth of who you are, the way that you are the way that you are the life, the way that you are the source of goodness and beauty. And show us each, dear Lord, how we are to live those particular things in our particular lives. Have a great day. God bless you.